The Sportscast, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitter, and Apple Podcast, Twitch as well. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast directory, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And also visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or download our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. And also on Twitter, The Sportscast One. Hit that notification if you're there already. The Champions League semifinals are completed. We know the championship finale game, Chelsea versus Man City, all English final. But, of course, we'll first have to recap what happened today. Chelsea, Pulisic, a name very knowable in the Mexican region. And we got Francisco Flores, a Real Madrid fan, but was man enough to show up and recap the show with us. Francisco, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Yep, thank you for having me. Obviously, my Cinco de Mayo isn't going as planned. You know, it's not going the best, but I'm gonna make do with what we got, and I'm out here to put fingers on players and whatnot, and whose fault it was. So, like I said, or like you said, I'm out here to face everybody. Give me the questions. I got your answers.
Exactly. Well, we're going for the first match. Chelsea defeated Madrid 2-0, goals by Timo Werner and Sir Mason Mount. And I got an assist by Christian Pulisic. Pulisic brought in that second half energy that Chelsea needed to beat Madrid. Madrid was nowhere to be found, to be honest. Madrid was definitely I had a feeling they were burnt out. You know, after like these past couple of weeks, they had a great couple of weeks, but I think that was going to slow down eventually. They were going to hit their peak, and I think we're feeling it right now. And I believe we're seeing it the same in the La Liga, but I want to hear your recap, Francisco, of what happened, and are you happy or not happy?
Well, to start, like I said from the beginning, not happy. Not happy with the performance, not happy with the lineup. I thought, from what it looked like at the beginning when the 11 was announced, it was going to go to a four back with Nacho playing on the right, but it was kind of all over the place, and it looked like the team was really shuffling and didn't really have it figured out in the first half. There was maybe a shot or two that, you know, you could say was good, but I would say in those first 10 minutes, it was looking like the same outcome was going to be likely like in the first half. So that wasn't looking good. And then that goal came in. Well, first there was that goal that got called off by, I think it was Timo, right? Yeah, Timo.
He was Timo Werner, yes. He scored, but also was turned down a goal earlier than that, yeah.
So there was that. So it wasn't looking good. And then Kai Havertz got that ball over the top, wide open. Chip Courtois hit the post, and Timo was there for the rebound. Courtois couldn't do anything. And, that one, it felt like the dagger or like the last nail on the coffin. But I was still hopeful. You know, we needed to regroup in the second half. I was just calling for Hazard to come off the field as soon as possible because he started in this match and – man, he was lost. He looked like he was kind of playing as a number 10 at times, and then he was playing at wide on the right and the left. There was a lot of switching with Vinicius. I don't know. It was really confusing. I thought the players were not really comfortable playing that way with so much rotation. I thought we should have had a little bit more stability in the formation and then in the way that we were attacking. But there was no stability, nothing to fall back on because there was just nothing. Players looked lost. No connection with Benzema. I mean, there was hardly any balls that you could say were great enough, you know, that were good for him to be putting into Mendy. There was one in the first half that Mendy saved that he had to stretch out pretty far, and he had some good reaction time on that. And it was a good shot. It was going in, but Mendy saved it. And that was pretty much the only thing that I saw that was threatening from Madrid. So that was not good to see. The defense with Ramos back there and him being out for 5 weeks, I thought he if he started, he was gonna definitely be able to bring the team together and talk everybody into being that stable, defensive, block that we're used to seeing from La Liga teams. But I didn't see that. I thought that Chelsea were just breaking over the top way too easily and figuring out our defense. It was just way too easy for them to defend and then counter and just break us down. I thought that was just not the type of discipline that I would like to see from a La Liga team. From my Madrid as well, I thought we should have defended a lot better. But yeah, it was just way too easy for Chelsea to break us down, and they won. And yeah, the results show, and I can't hate on that. All I can hate is on Hazard starting, because that's about the thing I don't agree with 100%. I don't think he should have started. Anyone else would have been better. But yeah, that's what happens. And I didn't like to see the images of him laughing and congratulating the Chelsea players afterwards either. That also didn't look good. I've changed my profile Twitter now, actually, to Hazard smiling as he was shaking Zuma's hand. So yeah, it's all around just didn't look good.
Eden Hazard, obviously, he was a former Chelsea player about a couple of years ago. He transferred from Chelsea to Real Madrid. Some say he was going to be that protege to replace Cristiano Ronaldo. It hasn't lived up to it, and I guess the Don really wanted him to live up to it this week. Why did they start him? Yes, he did play this past weekend on May 1st against Osasuna. But Francisco, what was the mentality behind it? Was it Don being risky, or it's because Eden Hazard has experience playing at Stamford Bridge? What was it?
I don't know, honestly. I have no idea what it was that Zidane was thinking. I think this is one of the very few times, maybe the only time that I disagree with what Zidane has put up on the 11. I thought that with the way the team was playing without him, I thought he was going to continue that. They were playing fine without him, and so yeah, I'm very disappointed that Florentino Perez didn't want to give Cristiano Ronaldo a $10 million dollar raise and $1 million Eden Hazard, and he's hasn't scored anywhere near the amount of goals that Ronaldo has scored in those 3 years now that it's been. I think Hazard Ronaldo has he has a six pack, right? I don't even think Hazard has scored six goals this last 3 years. In 3 years, man, come on. That's embarrassing. That is embarrassing.
With Hazard, I think it's a huge question mark. Of course, I guess though they're going to think about his contract in the next couple of months. Ramos, like you were saying earlier, was out for 5 weeks. Looked a little bit rusty. I think there was some like one of the goals was part of his fault, I would thought. Do you think it was premature to add him? I guess the Don, wanted experience, but you think it was pretty much premature to add Ramos to this roster?
Well, with Varane out, I think he was just basically up against the wall. With that situation, I have to use Ramos. There's no other option. I thought with him being the captain and leader, I thought that it was a great call. And I wouldn't say that he played an outstanding game or his worst game. I thought it was just an average game, nothing that stood out. But yeah, I definitely think there's a little bit, something to say there when a player is out for 5 weeks, and especially going to a game like this, the second leg of a Champions League semifinal, like there's a lot of pressure. And I don't know. Maybe that there just wasn't a plan for him to play this game. It was just that Varane injury, or I think it was an injury, right? Yeah, it was like a last minute injury, I think, that kept him out. That was just kind of like the last minute call that Zidane had to make, and everything, just added up and whatnot. But yeah, I'm not gonna hate on him any more than I would have hate on Eden Hazard starting. I think that was the biggest downfall of the team.
Before we move on to Chelsea, Modric, what were your thoughts over his performance?
Modric, I don't think he did too bad. Like I was saying with Ramos as well, like not the worst performance, but not the best as well. It was pretty average. I thought that Chelsea was really good at figuring out that Modric and Kroos are out. You know, when we're in when they were pressuring us in our own box. You know, Modric was the guy who was looking out for the passes out wide to Hazard or whoever, and Kante was right there to sweep all that up. And there was a lot of times where Kante was just right there cleaning it all up and basically in front of the box ready for a counter, you know, two or three players on. And I think that he had a shot or two that Courtois had to save like that. So yeah, I think they figured out Luka Modric was the out in that play. So he I guess looked worse than the actual player that he is, because I mean he's a club legend, I would call him. Same with Toni Kroos. I think the two and the pair have done a lot of things, great things for the team. But you know, it's getting that time as well for these guys are in their getting to their late 30s, you know, so maybe it's time to switch it up, you know, try something else, try something new. And I've never been opposed to trying new players, so I think maybe looking at this as a half the glass half full, you know, is that we have a lot of youth and players that are going to be coming up, and with the money that Madrid has, I'm not going to be worried about this. We made it to a semifinal. We're still in contention for the Liga title, so I'm going to try to be as positive as I can, even though Hazard started today.
That's something that I've been noticing, the squad and this roster that is, you know, aging a bit.
Asian.
You know, you got Toni Kroos, you got well, Hazard's still in his like late 20s, and then you got Modric and you got Ramos, all question marks. Now, up top, can you picture a Harry Kane coming to Madrid?
I can. I definitely can, but I think there's other players that would be better. I think more youthful players, someone more along the lines like Haaland, I think would be better, or Mbappe. I think that would be they're all around what I would call a Madrid type player. Not that Kane isn't or can't be. I think more of high profile player like that would be better, even though Kane has been pretty consistent in the Premier League, scoring 20 plus goals. But yeah, I think going for someone just a little tiny bit more youthful would be better, with some more speed and flair.
Now, if the Super League did happen, you guys, according to Florentino, your guys are able to afford Mbappe.
Yep. That's I mean, I don't know if that was just him, you know, trying to be more positive on the Super League, but I definitely think we'll be able to afford them. You know, there was a lot of talks about, you know, how COVID and what that was going to do to the transfer budgets to teams, and we saw the last transfer and in the winter transfer that teams have the money. They just, you know, had the excuse of COVID to hold back. And now in this summer, I think all the pockets, all the money is going to be coming out, and it's going to be flying high for the forwards, especially. Like, forwards are going to be the hot item this summer.
Hot commodity, of course. Transfer window begins this summer. Let's look at Chelsea, the winners of today. Of course, goals by Warner and Mount. Christian Pulisic became the hero again. I was telling another Chelsea fan earlier today, I think Pulisic will be a key, the hero once again for Chelsea. Did not start, Francisco. Tuchel, got him in the second half. Was that the smartest thing? I mean, was that very strategic, you think?
I think so. I think there was a lot to say on that move. I thought he was gonna start, but the fact that I didn't see him start, I was like, all right, he's gonna wait off. And either if it's gonna be the tight situation where, you know, Madrid go up 1-0 and then you're gonna have to go in the second half. I thought Pulisic would have probably gone in the second half, but they didn't need him. And then he came in midway through the second half and basically finished off you know, that defense, those tiring legs from that first half, trying to keep up with Timo Werner, who's already a very underrated forward as far as speed. I think a lot of defenders look at him and they think that he's slow, that he's going to be that type of player, forward that is looking for headers and whatnot because of his size, but he is super fast. And he's able to wear out those center backs really fast. And Pulisic just came in and wore them all out. You know, his dribbling is just better and better every time I see it. Like, he just is able to get around everybody. You know, there's not a lot of people that could defend him, which is that's a lot to say. I feel like, especially at this level, you know, to be able to do that in a Champions League semifinal to a team like this, to Real Madrid. It's an aging squad. Real Madrid, that's what I'm referring to, is an aging squad. And so I think they were saying it afterwards that Madrid, that's what they look like, right? They look like an aging squad, whereas this Chelsea look like a young, fresh, energized team that were just hungry and out to look for it.
We need another Galacticos. I think it's a part 3 Galacticos or a 4. I can't remember the numbering here.
Well, they tried to do a part 3, so I would call this, if it's a new one, it's going to be 3.5.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I think Pulisic had a great performance. I think Kai Havertz, I think they're naming him like the player of the game. Who do you think is the most important player in Chelsea right now?
Right now? That's a good question. I don't know if I could pick a player, honestly. I think the what is the key to them is the fact that they're able to play as a team, you know, so well, even under, Lampard, which is, you know, a lot of the reason I think that they're here. You know, he built the foundation this season for this team, you know, bringing in,
he won the group,
key players. Yeah, exactly. He won the group, got them into this later stages of the tournament. So I think that there's a lot to say to that. And people would call them underdogs in the tournament, especially going into it with a new coach like Lampard with his inexperience and whatnot.
Kind of reminds me of 2012 Chelsea. They were underdogs then as well.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of smelling a little like that. Smelling like that.
Smelling the win? Team.
Yeah. They do say history repeats itself, right? History repeats itself. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't know if I could call one player, you know, the number one man at Chelsea. I think just overall as a team, they're doing really well, and that's the difference. You know, the same with City. You know, the other team on the other side, they just play really well as a team.
They got some momentum. Now, manager Tuchel, who went into Chelsea halfway in January, maybe before that, I can't remember exactly, but I know it was mid-season. Do you think he's making the difference more than Frankie?
I think he's making the difference as far as the experience and being able to provide those, halftime, you know, talks, being able to talk to your players during the game and tell them, hey, you know, do this, do that, do this. Like, I think he has that experience that Lampard is still trying to figure out and work out. As a player, I think Lampard knows what to do, but I think his problem is that he doesn't know how to communicate it yet to his players. And I think that's what he needs to work on. And I think that's something that Tuchel does really well. You can see it, you know, when he's trying to do substitutions and whatnot, he's always, you know, breaking down with his players, giving him that little talk like, hey, you know, I want you here, I want you that. And even when they're on the field and while they're playing, like he's always talking. And so I think that's the thing that he has over Lampard. And you'll get that over, you know, with experience, especially as a manager. You know, as a player, you may be able to do it. But as a manager, that's a whole different job.
Chelsea mentioned Manchester City, which they won yesterday against PSG. 2-0 aggregate, 4-1. Once again, PSG out early, not going to the final. You know, both teams want to get to the final for the first time in a whole while. PSG has never gotten to the final. I think the same for Man City. Francisco, thoughts over this series overall? Yesterday, the goals were from Mahrez twice at the 11th minute and 63rd minute. But what was your overall thoughts over Man City's win over PSG?
Yeah, I think Pep finally has learned over course of the time, you know, over his mistakes, what he's done over in the Champions League seasons that he's been knocked out and finally kept consistency going through his team and the system that's been got him there. He hasn't changed it. And so this false nine that has been working all season with an infinite number of false nines in his squad and bench that he could rotate through. And that has been the teams that they face is they just can't defend all of those false nines. Phil Foden doing an excellent job in this game, just breaking down defense, dribbling through them, passing through them. His ability to be able to pass through the defense and his vision on the field is like I've never seen anything like that from a player his age, to be honest.
Hope
and
he
then
plays for
also,
England in the Euros, hopefully.
Yeah. Yep, I think so. I think he'll be there. And then in defense, Ruben Diaz, he was just a wall back there, blocking every single shot possible from PSG. And I think just for PSG and Mbappe not being there, that's what hurt him the most. Even though Neymar is there, and you know he's got a lot of good quality, I think what makes them the most dangerous is having both of them on the field at the same time.
Yeah. So. Mbappe was not starting, or he didn't play at all. Why was the reason? Was he injured?
Yeah, he picked up an injury, and they thought they were waiting late to basically see if he was going to come in. And yeah, it was about the 70th, 80th minute, and he was still on the bench, sitting down, like he wasn't even warming up. So I think there was he wasn't even in contention for it. They just didn't want to say it to the media.
Neymar, what are your thoughts over him after this Champions League run? I mean, there's always been criticism with him. What do you think about him so far?
Well, in this game, I think he had a couple of shots. But like I said, Ruben Diaz was just too good on the day. And PSG or City knew that PSG were going to look to Neymar and he was going to be the catalyst because when Icardi is in the game, there's not really much other things you could do other than cross to him. And so I think the Neymar was going to be the key. Icardi was just kind of in there as a decoy, you know, to distract the defense, but it didn't work. But yeah, I think as far as Neymar, yeah, average game from him. Again, and he, you know, was trying, and they were giving him a lot of passes and a lot of opportunities, but yeah, City was just too good defensively.
All English Championship finale, Man City versus Chelsea. Frank, I mean, what are your thoughts? Of course, we have, you know, 3 more weeks till that day, May 28th in Istanbul. What are your thoughts right now? What is your snapshot preview?
The preview. Well, overall, I feel like City is going to come up on top. I think yes, Tuchel has beat Guardiola once for the Carabao Cup final. But I think regardless of that, Pep's going to come back really focused and the team's going to be focused and City is going to come up on top. And yeah, it's going to be City with the Champions League and Premier League.
Wow.
reigning champions of Europe and of the best league in Europe. And yeah, there's a lot to say, I think, with how much the Spanish teams are dominating, and the English teams had to do something to catch up, and they're definitely doing that. I think it's now 2 out of the last 3 finals have been all English teams.
Yeah, even the week final between Tottenham and Liverpool, some say it was probably the worst final. I remember that was a long game. It was one goal in the 6th minute, and the rest, yep. I was just chatting with friends. There was not much to look at, to be honest. There's a comment from Facebook. Gregorio Benforto says Neymar had Icardi all alone, and he's also too selfish, Neymar.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that's his always been his thing, right? He's been a selfish player, and I mean, Yeah, there was I think he's talking about the where Neymar was dribbling across the box and Icardi was just waiting for it, wait for it, and he could have gave him the pass, but Neymar was like, "Nah, I'm just gonna try take another touch and try to take a shot," and then it got blocked. But I mean, yeah, what can you do? You know, when you're in those situations, you think you can do everything, especially when you're a player like Neymar's, you know, his status and everything. He thinks he can go around everybody. It almost worked. It almost worked. But like I said, if they had Mbappe, it probably would have been a whole different game.
It'd been a whole different game. And can he win the Copa America with Brazil this summer?
I think he's got a shot, but is he going to go? I mean, does he need to go to that tournament? We'll see. You know, I think he's got better things to do than that over the summer, you know, to
Don't know. With
catch
all
up
the
on.
COVID in South America, it feels
He
like
needs to
it's
catch up on all the partying, you know, because of COVID. He'll
true.
probably be on some island, you know, off of France somewhere on his yacht.
I can see clubs maybe having issues with their players going to South America for that tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Like, will they even? Because clubs ultimately, hey, they're tied down to the contract, so clubs have the first say over them, and whether they can go. So yeah, it's honestly a good question. We'll see when it comes up.
I mean, of course, you
But
know, like they'll probably have, you know, plenty, I mean, like, you know, 2 weeks to quarantine, but that 2 weeks could be used for training. Or
yep,
for, you know,
preseason.
preseason.
Yep.
So, you know, it's crazy. We'll see, because I know in Latin America it's not doing well. You know, things are a little bit. It feels like April of May last year feels like for. I mean, how we were in there experiencing a little bit more. But anyways, this is a soccer show, not a health show. So, but yeah, Man City Chelsea May 29th in Istanbul, and I was also hearing that Istanbul is in lockdown. And I've been hearing, hey, why not just move it to Wembley or to England, the final? What are your thoughts over that?
I mean, now with both teams being from the same country, I think that there's going to be a bigger push for that. I mean, I don't see why not. And with the COVID excuse, you know, that everybody's using that as an excuse for to be able to do whatever they want.
I can't
So
work,
I
Frank. I have COVID issues.
yeah, exactly. Can't go to work, can't answer the phone, you know, at your job, the job you're supposed to be doing. Like, there's an excuse for it. But no, I think there's definitely going to be a push for it. And if they're in lockdown, yeah, I could definitely see it going to Wembley.
Wembley, also been here in Old Trafford
Or Old Trafford, yeah, at the Swamp.
right now. Quick reaction, Mourinho going to Roma. Quick thoughts on that.
Yep, Mourinho going to Roma. They announced it yesterday. It's official. He's going to take over. I think if they give him the money and the get him the players that they want, I think it's going to work out for Mourinho. It's definitely his type of league. For the last, 3 or 4 years, even though people think that the Serie A is not an attacking league, it's actually one of the most attacking leagues, if not the most attacking leagues. The league that has been scoring the most goals. So I definitely think for a Mourinho counterattacking team that likes to score a lot of goals, I think that fits in perfectly well. Got a couple of Premier League rejects already at Roma, so it fits a Mourinho-esque type of team, you know, to have some players that are not the most beloved, you know, players out there. But yeah, I think it's a good move. I definitely thought that Mourinho would hold off on going to a Italian team, like well, hold off to go to in to try to go to Inter before going to another team because, you know, of the history and the love that he has for that team. He won a treble there. So I thought he would have waited to go there, but with Conte and him winning the Serie A, I think that would have been really hard. But yeah, I think it's going to be positive from the beginning, like always. Every Mourinho team, that's how it is, right? They get that honeymoon period, and then all of a sudden, it goes downhill from there. So we'll see how long that lasts. He signed his another 3-year deal, which is a classic Mourinho move. That's what he always does. He goes for a 3-year deal.
And usually doesn't last till maybe that third year. This time for
Maybe a year and
Tottenham
a
was in
half.
the second year.
Yep.
But I didn't really expect them to do well up in Tottenham, because, you know, Andy Levy doesn't like to spend, you know.
Yep,
And like
exactly.
Mourinho wants the best player. So he's used to having his owners spending, like Chelsea. Oh, my gosh, that guy is filthy rich. Spend. Yep. Man United, I think he had some issues, but he got some players, you know. But yep. Tottenham, man, he was wearing thin. Like, Leicester was spending more with their players exactly. in Tottenham. So he would have been good for, like, with Leicester, to be honest. But that's another podcast itself. And, of course, Brendan Rodgers, which he could be a possibility to manage in Tottenham, I heard. But I think he's in love with Leicester. I think he has feeling like the love there. So I don't think he would leave. It's like almost going to the same team but different town, you know.
Exactly.
But anyways, pretty excited about soccer. Gregorio is an Italian Serie A fan, so he's waving his flag and the trophy, and who knows, maybe Serie A will come back in the fray and be one of the top leagues now with La Liga getting old, and who knows with Messi and and now, you know, UEFA not liking them at all because of the Super League. But hey, there's always room for opportunities for other leagues to shine. Anyways, anything else before we head into our Twitter poll question, Francisco?
Nope. I think that's it. If you don't got any more Madrid questions, then let's go to the Twitter poll. Let's go.
I will say to you, I did like Florentino's confidence and, you know, going on those Spanish shows. Like, he was saying, look, I mean, we signed this Super League. It's going to happen. And he's, I mean, I really, but will it happen, Francisco? Do you think eventually they will happen, or were they doing this to bluff it to get more money from UEFA?
I think there was more that they actually wanted this to happen and break away so that they could have money, more money. But I think there's a little bit of that they did it just to get more money and to try to pull a bluff on them,
which worked.
But I think it will happen. You know, there's a bunch of talk right now about punishments and, like, UEFA might do, like, the maximum penalty, which is 2-year ban from the competition. I don't think they'll do that. I think if they do that, people are going to not watch the Champions League. Because why would you kick out Barcelona and Real Madrid? Because, you know, the Spanish teams are the ones that are still not backing down as of right now. I think there's 9 out of the 12 teams have backed down. And I can't forget. I think it's
all the English
clubs.
Maybe
Milan, but it's all the English clubs for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, then plus one Serie A club. So
yeah, so I think it's still going to happen
unless UEFA
give it a couple years.
Yeah, I mean, what can work out with both parties that UEFA could deduct teams from the Champions League. Because they want to move it up to 36, maybe move it down to like 29 or 30. Hey, let's meet halfway somewhere.
Yeah. Because, UEFA wanted to add more teams, so that then, you know, the bigger teams were like, wait, well, that's obviously going to mean more spread of the money, right? Less cut a smaller slice of the pie for us,
right?
You know, spread amongst more teams, but. I think, if they are able to work something out, I think it's still going to stay the same. I think the same Champions League format is still going to stand. They have the UEFA Conference League, which is another new tournament that's going to be coming up this next season. So that's like another losers tournament because there's already Europa League, you know. So it's another losers tournament.
Money issue, isn't it?
So, I mean, I don't think there's a need to add more Champions League spots or anything like that. If anything, there's going to be just a renegotiation of the distribution of TV right money, or somebody's going to get more money. It's probably going to go back to the same amount that they were getting before that 2016 deal that happened when they had already redistributed back in 5 years ago in 2016.
Gregorio says Madrid, Barcelona, and Juventus are on the three that are still hanging on with Juventus. The Super League.
Okay.
So
yeah, big money Juve, of course.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting, the whole situation. It's also the same argument with FIFA, with the World Cup expanding to 48. You know, it's almost the same thing. Like, I like the Confederations Cup. It just cuts the, you know, it just cuts like the clutter and goes directly to the good teams. Exactly. So which actually has worked, you know, but. With like the whole money grab, like they want to keep increasing, and then I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
point.
know.
They're pointing fingers and everybody's calling them greedy and whatnot. But I mean, that's literally the exact same thing that FIFA's doing. Like, they're gonna expand to more teams because they're gonna get more money.
Yeah, it's yeah, more money and everything, and who knows, might be 100 by 2050 or something. I don't know,
Right.
dude. It's just, anyways, let's get the MLS and La Liga MX together first, and then we'll talk.
Yeah, right. Then we'll talk.
Anyways, poll question of the day, Cinco de Mayo. Francisco, what will you be consuming on Cinco de Mayo? The choices are burritos, tacos, margaritas, or chips and salsa.
Oh, where's the tequila option?
Oh, tequila, yeah. Only have four options in Twitter, so I can't
Only have four. All right.
can
I'll
do it
go with the
all.
tacos then. The tacos.
Tacos, but you would say
Can't hate
tequila.
on them. Yeah. Number one, tequila, but since it's not there, I'll go with tacos.
Okay, they're fair enough. Tacos, margaritas, and chips and salsa. No, chips and salsa is winning at 34%.
Oh, chips and salsa.
Tacos and margaritas are tied at 33. Burritos at zero.
Nobody wants
No one
the
wants a burrito. I guess everyone eats Chipotle every week, so they're like, nah, not for Cinco de Mayo. We'll save that for Thursday,
We'll
for
see that for tomorrow.
May 6th. Anyways. Francisco, what is the best way to reach you online? And also tell us about your podcast and whatnot.
Yes, so you can reach me at Twitter at Francisco BCP or any other podcast platform or social media platform, sorry. And then as far as the podcast, it is On the Counter Podcast on Twitter and On the Counter Pod on all the other social media platforms. And you can also find us on your audio platforms, Spotify, Apple, and YouTube. That's where you should subscribe because we're getting close to 500 subscribers. We're doing a giveaway when we reach 500 subscribers. And we're also actually getting really close to 400. And when we reach 400, we're going to announce the actual prize.
Ooh.
So that will get, people motivated a little bit more. So only 15 more people, and that's it. And we'll get to announce what it is that
Which
everybody.
I am subscribed, so we have to worry about me. I hope it's a Gareth Bale jersey from Madrid.
Yeah, but I gotta wear it first.
I know. That was a bet between him and his co-host, Drew Pels, that I think if Chelsea won, he had to wear a jersey of his choice and then vice versa. And it was Gareth Bale from Madrid or a Tottenham jersey?
No, Madrid.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
Madrid.
Which
Number
they're easy to
11.
find, right?
And then I chose a Real Madrid Chicharito jersey back from 2014 15.
By the way, Chicharito's having a great MLS start. Have you noticed?
Oh, yeah. Yep. He didn't do anything in this last game week, but his record still looks good. Five goals in three games.
Now, has
It
he
looked
retired from
better
the
last.
Mexican national team, or he's still still open for that?
As of right, he's not retired as of right now. He's just more on like I've already become a legend status, basically. And so,
Like what,
yeah,
Temo
if you guys,
Blanco?
yeah. If you want to call me, then go ahead. But I'm not gonna, be worried about it because I mean, there's been a lot of like talks of like him, being mad about it or whatever. But I don't think he should be or he really is. I think he's like. Whatever about it. Like if he gets to play again, then whatever. But when it comes down to his retirement, like he's definitely gonna get a chance to do that, and like do it the proper way and get a nice send off. Like
Testimonial
there's no doubt
match.
about that. Yeah, exactly. U.S. versus Mexico, last match, and he gets sent off with a red card because he gets so mad.
And it will be at like the LA Rose Bowl.
Yeah, of course it has to be in America. It can't be
America.
it can't be
It'll be
in
a perfect
Mexico.
fit. Yeah, it'll be a perfect situation. But anyways, you can reach us at the Sportscast One for any funny Chicharito jokes or at the sportscast.net. Gregorio, please hit that like on Facebook, subscribe to us on Twitter, and any other platforms that's feasible for your doing. Tonight, new Showtime, the Jersey Boys Sports Talk tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. They'll be recapping the NFL draft and looking forward to what the Giants did and what they're going to do. Francisco, who is your NFL team?
My NFL team is the New Orleans Saints.
Interesting. Yeah, they. Wow. I don't think James Winston or Taysom Hill's the future quarterbacks there, right? It's just a
I
bridge
mean, I think that's
quarterbacks
kind of
thing.
temporary. Right now,
Temporary.
they haven't found the permanent solution. But yeah, it's
Like Eden Hazard. He's a temporary fix.
yeah, exactly. It's just a little, it's the 99 cent Band-Aid. That's what it is. It's barely on there, just barely on there.
Oh man. Anyways, we got 3 more weeks. We may have a big show to predict the final for the Champions League, so we'll let you guys know and have a couple of people yeah, just talk about, hey, what's going to happen? I mean, hopefully it's not going to be a Man City easy win. I don't think it will happen. I think it'll be tight. 2-1, I say, but hopefully Chelsea, because the world is going with Chelsea, not Man City, I'm telling you.
Yep, that's definitely true.
Well, Francisco, always a pleasure. Have a good laugh with you and talk a little bit about soccer here in America and beyond.
Of course. Until next time, let me know if you do that Champions League prediction show, and I'll be I'm down to go on.
Let's do it. Thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Until next time.